Welcome to installment 288 of Sefer Mitzvot from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, positive commandment 243, regarding the responsibility of a paid watchman and a socher, a renter, for the objects that are in their possession. In these laws of liability, we find four different types of people mentioned by the Torah. And as the Rambam quotes the Talmud, that although there are four different types, only three laws, three categories of thing apply to them. Let us take first the two extremes. On one end of the scale is the Shemer Chinam, an unpaid watchman, who in general is not liable for any damage to the object he is watching. On the other extreme is a Shayel, a person who has borrowed the object. And in this case, he is getting from the object, and he is responsible for which happens to the object. An intermediate category is a shemer socher, which is today's commandment 243, a person who is watching an object, but he is getting paid for that watching. In this case, in some cases he is responsible for damages, and other cases not. Should, for example, he lose the object or not guard it well enough and it should be stolen, in such a case, he is responsible to pay for the damage to the object or the lost object. Should, however, an unexpected event happen and he be forced, so to speak, such as a boat carrying the object sunk in the ocean and the object was lost, or armed robbers come to take away the object, in such a case, he is exempt from payment, but rather must take an oath in court that he did not intentionally lose the object and was not careless with the object, and that in fact this event did happen to cause the object to be lost, and then he is exempt from any payment. These laws are explicitly stated in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, beginning with verse 9, which states, Ki yitein ish el reyehu, when one person gives another chamer, or isher, or isevagamer, gives him a donkey, or an ox, or a sheep. And over there, the Chumash continues to explicate exactly under what conditions the person must pay for the lost object, and under what conditions he is exempt from payment. The Chumash therefore mentions these three categories. First, the unpaid watchman who is exempt, except, of course, in cases of gross negligence. On the other extreme, the Chumash mentions a person who borrows an object, who in general is always required to pay for the loss of an object. An intermediate is today's mitzvah, the Shemer Sachar, who gets paid for watching, and in some cases must pay, and other cases not. There is a fourth category, as we mentioned, which is a person who is renting an object. In this case, he is paying for use of the object. So in one sense, he is getting benefit from the object as a borrower is. And on the other hand, he is providing a service by watching the particular object or animal for the owner. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us, and the Rambam quotes the Talmud, which says that there are only three laws, that this renter does not have a separate law. He is lumped together with the Shemer Sachar, with the one who is getting paid in order to watch. The Rambam himself, in his Guide for the Perplexed, Mor Nevuchim, explains the reasoning behind this division. The Rambam explains that when we come to a Shemer Chinam, someone who is watching an object for free, who is gaining the benefit here? Only the owner of the object. He doesn't have to pay any money, and his object is being watched. Therefore, since he's getting all the benefit, he must take all the risk. And the watchman himself is in normal cases, exempt from payment. On the other extreme, the Shayel, who borrows the object, he is getting all of the benefit in such a case. He doesn't have to pay at all for the object, and he gets to use it. Therefore, he should be responsible in all cases, and he must pay. In the two cases dealt with in today's mitzvah, however, both parties get benefit. In the case of the watchman who's getting paid, the watchman himself gets benefit because he's receiving money for watching. And so, too, the owner of the object gets benefit because he has his object being watched. And also, in the case of a socher, a person who is paying for use of the object, he gains himself because he gets use of the object. And the owner gains because he is getting paid the rental fee for the object. And since in these cases, both parties get benefit, they share financial liability. Should it be lost, then the watchman must pay. Should it be an unusual case of anus where he was forced, for example, by armed robbers, in that case the owner still keeps the financial responsibility. In his Code of Jewish Law, the Alter Rebbe brings many responsibilities that a worker must fulfill for the one who hires him, and vice versa, the boss's responsibilities towards his employee. Regarding the responsibilities of a worker, the Alter Rebbe says that he is just as the worker cannot steal from the boss cannot steal from the worker, so too the worker cannot steal from the boss. And this does not mean only literally stealing objects, but stealing time is also called theft. The worker must be careful, ledaktek al atzmi bizman, to be very careful with his time to use it properly. Otherwise, he'll goof off a little bit here and rest a little bit extra here, and it'll turn out the whole day he is fooling and tricking his boss. But we see that our sages demanded that a worker be very, very careful with his time to make sure he always works properly. And so too, chayev laved b'kol keichei, a person is required to work with all of his strength, all of his power. And the proof is from Yaakov HaTzadik, that when Yaakov was in the house of Lavan and was working, guarding Lavan's sheep, it says that he, with all of my power, Yaakov said, I worked for your father, speaking to Rachel and Leah. Therefore, the law is that a worker who works during the day is not allowed to take another job at night, if this will affect his job during the day, because he is required to work with all of his strength. Should he hold down another job at night, he will be unable to work properly during the day. And so too, if one rents out an animal, one can only rent out the animal during the day, so that it should be able to rest at night and work the next day with its full power. And so too, the Alter Rebbe says, a melamed, a teacher, must be careful not to stay up too late at night, because then the next day he will be lazy with his work, and we will be tired and unable to teach properly. And so too, he should not eat too much at night, because this also induces laziness, and it will be unable to work b'kol keichei with all of his power. The work that Yaakov did in the house of Lavan, guarding his sheep, is compared in Chassidic philosophy to the service which a soul does, a neshama does for Hashem, after it descends to this world. When Yaakov was studying in the yeshiva of Shemen Eved, he was able to devote his whole life and all of his time strictly to matters of holiness. But then when he went away to Charan, to the place of Lavan, he was in a place which was a hostile environment to holiness and of closeness to God. And over there, Yaakov, although he still learned, he did the work he was required to do, which had no open connection with godliness. He nevertheless went about his work with great devotion, and with all of his might, with all of his power. So too, the Rebbe Shlita explains in the Sicha that a person must meditate on the fact that his soul is just like that of Yaakov's, that just as he went to a hostile environment, so too the soul comes down here to the physical world, which is, so to speak, also a hostile environment. When the soul was up in the heavenly realms, it was able to have a tremendous closeness and strong feeling and understanding of godliness. Now that it came down here to this world, a physical, gross, coarse world, it is missing this closeness, and the person might want to cleave to their source and isolate themselves with the study of Torah and only daven and lock themselves away from the sources of opposition in the world. However, we learn from Yaakov that even in Charan you have to work, and not only you have to work, but kol keichei with all of your power, and to be very careful with your time to ensure that you make the world a better place, to make the physical world a dira le'yisborech betachteinim, a dwelling place for God in the lower world, not only to isolate ourselves in strictly spiritual things, but to go into the physical world and help elevate it and purify it and make it a dwelling place for godliness. And when a Jew works in this manner, he is rewarded the same way Yaakov was. As it says in the verse, Vayifrei to'ish ma'ed ma'ed, that he became very, very wealthy. And so too, a Jew who works in such a way and tries to make the world a better place and a dwelling place for Hashem through purifying the spiritual world also will be given great wealth and great reward. This is also indicated in a story from the Talmud that Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthias told his son, find me a few workers, hire me a few workers. They came back, and of course the workers wanted to know what they would be paid. And he told them, the son told them, they would be paid with food, they would be given what to eat. He returned to his father, Rabbi Yochanan ben Matthias, and told him this is what they would be paid. And his father became very upset, and he said, Bini, my son, how could I possibly satisfy them? Every Jew is a child of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv, of our forefathers, and therefore, as children of kings, they must be fed like a king. As the phrase goes, Kesuda Shleima Beshaite, that when King Solomon was a king, imagine the feast that would have to be provided to satisfy him, to provide food worthy of a king. So to every Jew is worthy of being treated as a king. And if you tell them that you're feeding them, then I have to give them what they deserve. And no matter what I could give them is never enough to compensate for what a Jew down here, the son of a king, deserves for his reward. Therefore, if you hire them, you must tell them what you're going to feed them, that you're going to feed them bread or beans or exactly what. Otherwise, if you just say you're going to feed them, I can never satisfy my obligation. Because a Jew, by virtue of birth, of being a child of Avram Yitzchak V'Yankiv, regardless of his action, is considered a child by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore deserves the best treatment possible. Therefore, he must not only be cared for, and not only fed, but be fed in a manner befitting a king. Kesuda Shleima B'Shaite. And even if they were given such a meal, it still would be not enough for what a Jew deserves because of the tremendous quality of his soul and the tremendous love that Hashem has for every single Jew.
Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.